Way down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.
Welcome to Show in Missouri. This is Missouri One County at a Time. This week we are in Lafayette County in beautiful, historic Lexington, the Athens of the West. We are here with Representative Glenn Coltmire. Thank you for making the time, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to God's country.
Linda Needick. I'm going to butcher that, I'm afraid.
That's close enough.
The county clerk here, thank you for the hospitality. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're glad to have you.
And Jennifer Kerr, an attorney here, a local historian, somebody's doing a lot of the work to preserve the history here in Lexington. Thank you for making the time. Talk about Lafayette County, founded November 16th, 1820, the 18th county founded, cut out of Cooper County. And Linda, you were saying actually incorporated quite a bit of ground. What was the original Lafayette County?
Well, I think when it became Lafayette County, this is the shape that it is now, the acres, the square miles.
You just said something when it became. It was something before Lafayette County,
Lillard,
correct?
Right, Lillard County, and included parts of Johnson and Saline County, and much larger. And it was renamed because Mr. Lillard fell out of favor with the state legislature. He moved back to Tennessee. And then they had an opportunity to carve it up into three counties, is my understanding, became, you know, Johnson and Saline. And Lafayette was that original Lillard County piece, from what I understand.
Now, I read that at the time they selected the name Lafayette, General Lafayette was making a tour of America. And he was very highly publicized and covered, would have been corresponded with that. I saw you have a terrific bust in the courthouse lobby here of General, was it the Marquis de Lafayette? Is that how you say it correctly?
That's my French isn't very good, but I think that's correct.
Mine ain't great neither. I'll be honest with you. And this was not the first county seat when they founded this. It was a place called
Mount Vernon,
which now Jennifer, as the crow flies out of Lexington, how would you get to Mount Vernon?
Head towards St. Louis.
Head towards St. Louis.
Head east, and it would be between Lexington and the now little town of Dover. It was located up on the river bluff, and I believe there are orchards there right now, maybe some farmland.
So one of the reasons why this is Little Dixie is a lot of folks from actual Dixie, you would come up the Mississippi River, and you'd go past St. Louis, and you wouldn't want to live there, so you'd come out, and this was just a really good spot that had great soil for agriculture, but also had a nice landing for the river here, Arrow Rock, a few other places. And folks come up from Tennessee and Kentucky, just follow that river trail up, right, Representative?
Yes, yes. Very much a river town, river passage.
And as time went by, had some of the best farm ground and some
Absolutely.
Of the best part of the river to get on and off at, which at the time, it was not easy to get on and off. I mean, you had steamships for the most part. You had folks just manning regular boats, correct?
That is correct.
That's how most people got around. As those settlers came in, then it's always interesting to me to talk about how things come about. You have those Tennessee and Kentuckians that came up, and then you have, as time went by, you had like a lot of Missouri, especially central Missouri. You had a huge German immigration, kind of started in the 50s, 1850s, took a little bit of a break for the Civil War, but then after the Civil War, you had a huge influx of people from Germany settling in and around here. Jennifer, I always like the question, there are two things I like to ask everybody on the show, because you get such interesting answers, but how did you come to live here in Lafayette County and your family?
My brother and I were born on our family farm. We were the sixth generation to be born there. Our family,
where's that farm at?
It's located right between Lexington and Higginsville.
Gotcha.
In God's country, like Glenn likes to say. And they were from Germany, and I'm very proud of my heritage.
Sure. Linda, how did your family come to live here in Lafayette County?
My husband's family were German immigrants. He's full-blooded German. And it was agriculture, the ground, that brought him here from Vimy Osage, actually.
Now, Representative, I know you're German. That makes it, we have like a German quartet here, the four of us.
Yes, absolutely.
We're setting well.
Yes.
During Oktoberfest, no less. How did your family come to live here in Lafayette County?
Well, I'm full German. All eight ancestors are German. My dad's mother's oldest sister was born in Germany, came across on the boat, and then my grandmother was born over here, so... Linda's husband Neil and I are kin through that aunt.
I like it.
Yes.
Now, folks listening to us in St. Louis, Kansas City, kin means you're related. That's a rural Missouri term. Y'all might not be up to speed on. Kinfolk means you're related to each other, and kin. That is such an interesting thing to see those immigration barriers, how they work. Now, where do you live at in the county?
I currently live just north of Odessa, but I grew up 5 miles west of here in the town of Wellington.
So you have a town named Wellington and a town named Napoleon?
Yes, and Waterloo sits right in between.
Now, I assume that was not by accident, right?
I guess not.
That's kind of, if you're from Napoleon, that's a little more colorful. But Wellington did win.
Yes.
So it kind of all evens out.
Yes.
I guess if you're from Napoleon, you wouldn't want to spend a lot of time in Waterloo.
No.
You didn't have to. That would make sense to me. Let's talk about the county seat here. We talked about Mount Vernon, how it's from here. Just up the, it's up the river east a little bit. But Lexington was formed 1820s, right after the county was established, right? Folks started settling here. And it's always hard to tell when a town's formed. It's not like you have a charter necessarily, but I found a record of a man named John Aull, A-U-L-L, formed a mercantile post here and found a very successful place where he could make and obviously built a lot of business and agriculture around that trading post. Well, at 1822, they said they have a city. Then the county courthouse really never got off the ground in Mount Vernon. Really, I don't even know they had a courthouse at the time. So they moved the county seat to Lexington, which took off and grew very rapidly. And while they were doing that, they had a spot. It's kind of odd. The first gentleman that built the courthouse, usually have a contractor or something, it was a guy named Henry Rennick. He was a justice of the peace, and it seems like he kind of just built it himself, almost as a part of his job, right? And just turned in receipts for the materials, correct?
Right.
Now, what did that first courthouse? It didn't last very long. What did it cost to build that first?
Between $2,000 and $3,000, as I recall.
And I mean, I know you're going to be inflation guy would have something to say about that, but still, that is not much money for a project the size of a courthouse. And now to look at what's came of that's amazing. Well, that courthouse didn't last just a real long time. By 1832, they were ready to build a new one. And I've heard the story. Now, you know how these old Missouri stories are. You never can tell exactly. But I've heard that there was a record of on the 4th of July in 1831, that some young bucks, as they were called, decided they would just destroy the old courthouse grounds. Now, is that a story that's told around here, or is that just stories tell about here?
That's not one that I've heard, but I certainly wouldn't discount it.
So the second courthouse was in Old Town, which would have been a little further south.
South
here?
And east, just a little bit.
So Old
Town. Several blocks.
In 1835, and it was apparently three stories, and it was one of the most beautiful structures. And seeing the rest of this community, you would think they would architecture mattered. It was called the Athens of the West for a reason. You can drive down any street here in Lexington and see just beautiful homes. So it would make sense. But this is a quote from a person that traveled here from the East Coast because they'd heard of this beautiful courthouse and they wanted to try to see it for themselves so they could mimic it. One of the noblest structures of art, a passing stranger would suppose at a glance that it was the legislative hall of some proud nation instead of an institution for the improvement of the human mind. Both external and internal, the building is superb in every sense of the word. So this must have been just a gorgeous courthouse structure. And that tradition continued. I mean, you would not expect to see some old TVA project here in Lexington with all the beautiful homes. Then the courthouse is the oldest operating courthouse west of the Mississippi. When was this courthouse built?
1847.
And it is a beautiful. Was it always white?
No, it was not.
So the white, the paint or stucco plaster's been on. Is it? I guess there's a brick structure there.
Oh, it's definitely. It's all brick.
Yeah,
definitely brick, 2-foot walls.
Wow.
And, you know, it's moved very, very little. It's very structurally sound. You know, this is an old coal mining town and a river town. And so you're always concerned about, you know, voids and, you know, in the ground. But they found solid ground when they built this courthouse. It's solid.
It is a beautiful courthouse. And it's interesting. You've done a lot of work to try to bring this back to what it was. I was in your office, and you've kind of, I guess it's impossible to totally go back and make it exactly historically accurate, but you've done a lot of work in and around here to make it far more historically accurate, correct?
We have. you know, it always amazes me how I ended up in, spending 20 years in one of the most historic buildings that I'm aware of. I have a Master of Arts degree in history. And so it was just like, you know, I just got placed in the most perfect place. And I think because of my interest in history, I have had a real sincere desire to preserve and to protect the history of Lafayette County and of this courthouse. We are sovereign. The county square sets in the middle of the town of Lexington, but is not actually within the town of Lexington, which is unique.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's very, very much this county square, belongs to the county, as it should.
So it's just a carve out of the city?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to say, I've never heard of one like that. That's interesting. Yeah.
We did a very large project, and actually built a new jail on the town, on the county, on the square, which, met with a lot of concern and opposition. Being a historic town, how could you possibly put a jail here? And so we worked very hard as we constructed the new facility to make it fit in. And I think, the citizens of Lexington have always appreciated that. We also included, by that time, the early 2000s, the county had acquired the old Lexington City Hall, which is in and of itself an absolutely magnificent building, and did a complete renovation of that building, which was built in 1906, I believe. And, the kind of getting back to where I was going with this, the motto, the theme of that project, especially Lafayette Hall, was, looking to the future with respect to the past. And, we have to make these buildings functional for what we do here on a daily basis. I mean, this is a huge business that we're running here. So it has to be functional. But I'm extremely proud of the way the county commission and the other office holders have worked to, preserve almost all of the historic aspects of this, from, the hardwood floors to the original light fixtures. And then when we do have to put in a new set of lights or whatever, or new front doors or new windows, we're really working hard to make those period and historically correct.
It's I really believe that I'm from rural Missouri myself, and sometimes there's a your expectations in life can get lowered a little bit. I know there's folks that struggle in cities for sure, but you can at least see success and wealth and things you did. So often you have to leave communities to find exceptional things. But if you grew up in Lexington and around Lafayette County, you could come here and you could see truly great people. And I think sometimes when you look at the sense of pride you have in your home to build it in the 1850s and build it so well and take care of it so well that 150 some years later, it's still a thing people want to come look at. I think that instills a sense of pride in people. They can accomplish things, and they can. I think it gives you a different view of the world when you're from a place that has such a proud history that it preserves.
We tried to pass the bond issue to build that new jail twice, I think, and it failed. And when we added the restoration and the use of Lafayette Hall, it passed. And to me, that always said about, because this wasn't about Lexington, this $12.2 million bond issue is paid for by, every citizen in Lafayette County, not just the folks in Lexington. But we don't live in a throwaway county. We have a respect for the past. We want to restore, we want to reuse, we want to repurpose, if you want to look at it that way. And I think that speaks exactly to what you're saying. And it speaks to the kind of young people that we're raising in this county.
Yeah.
We have, great schools, and the young people that are coming out of here are making a difference in their hometowns and their communities in the state of Missouri and beyond.
No different than that's going on down in the Capitol with the Capitol Commission restoring the Capitol back to its grandeur. Not only what they've done outside, but then when I think Missouri gets their feet back on the ground, money-wise, budget-wise, then they're going to go inside and try to restore the inside to what it was. Also, the governor's mansion, it was under some very much needed repairs, HVAC, roof leaking and what have you. It's neat to see the Capitol, the governor's mansion, and you know, what's going on here to preserve the past.
I thought, for what it's worth, it was an amazing show of leadership by people like yourself. Senator Richard deserves so much credit, because honestly, on the outside, a person that's not into construction could drive by that 5 years ago, could drive by that 6 months from now, and you wouldn't notice it. But that Capitol's going to fall into the river if something wasn't done. To me, if you build a new highway or a bridge or a new building, you can say, oh, look at this. You, frankly, had to address neglect from people from a long time ago. And I think that is the type of leadership that is just, frankly, rarely seen anymore by people. And that, you know, it was something that had to be done.
Yes.
You've saved the state millions of dollars in the future by having to do things. By the time you could see the problems with the Capitol, it was going to cost a multiple of 10 what it costs for you to go in there and maintain it. I have such a high regard for people that care about something. There's not going to be a lot of credit. It's not new.
No.
But it took that, to me, that was what makes it have leadership to do. Well, let's talk about, there's a great spot when you come in the courthouse here. You look up and you could see the cannonball that hit right in the corner. Now let's talk about how that cannonball mark got there. In 1861, there was a Battle of Boonville. General Lyon, a person that I think by all accounts did not too much care for Missourians. He's from the East. He's from Illinois. He came over not a big fan of Missourians, and he ended up being killed by one down at Wilson's Creek. But before then, he sent a regiment over here to occupy Boonville. Now, Jennifer, going back, this was Little Dixie. This is probably Confederate area by and large. But I don't know that the people here thought they were occupied by the Confederacy until they were occupied by the Union.
I don't know. It's quite complicated when you look at Lexington during the Civil War. We had the battle here, of course, in 1861. And that's how legend has it, the cannonball wound up in the courthouse column. The Union was firing a cannon at Sterling Price's headquarters, which is located across the street, and they overshot and hit the courthouse. But as far as military strategy, I'm going to have to defer to one of my compatriots.
So the Union Army comes up on a steamboat, oddly enough, called like the White Cloud. The 5th Regiment comes down the river, and now they're occupying Lexington, which I think, to the surprise of some of the people that lived in Lexington, they didn't know that they needed, they were, I don't think they knew that they weren't in America or needed to be occupied at the time. So they occupied Lexington, and that went on for a while. And a gentleman who's a self-appointed colonel, Henry Rulett, out of Clay County, decided he was going to be a Confederate colonel because he had 1,000 men. So he rounded up 1,000 volunteers, and they kind of surrounded Lexington, sort of this a foreshadowing of what the battle would be like. But they realized these professionally trained Union soldiers had them about even up. It was about 1,000 to 1,000. And those professional soldiers defending, they realized they were not going to be able to take Lexington. So things kind of stalemated for a while. The Union troops weren't known to be super good, I guess you would say, rulers at this point. But they got along enough. Some of the prominent Confederate supporters, I believe, were arrested. But other than that, there wasn't a huge amount of civil unrest or problems. And then General Price won at Wilson's Creek, started to come north. And really, he made a couple small, had one incursion with General Lang and sent him back the other side of Fort Scott. Then he came for Lexington, which at the time, keep in mind, this was one of the biggest cities west of St. Louis. It was a very, very big city that you would ride on the river. Controlling this would mean you probably control this part of the river, and there's a reason why the Union put an emphasis on it. Well, he comes up the first day, which I guess would have been the 18th or the 17th? He arrives, and he sees the very well-fortified Union soldiers who have trained. They have rifles that could shoot accurately from a long way. They knew this was coming. It was very well-fortified, and they have some skirmishes, but really all that happens is the Union soldiers retreat into the city of Lexington, and behind their fortifications. And he realizes, General Price realizes, this is going to be a lot harder than I thought. And there's a great Missouri quote, and when I read this, I thought, this is the kind of thing Jay Nixon would have said. It's just your normal kind of reserve Midwestern Missouri quote from Governor Price. He said, it is unnecessary to kill off these boys here. Patience will give us what we want. And I just thought that is a very Missouri quote. We're going to approach this slowly. We're going to ease into this. Well, that lasted about a day, and he was done with patience. So they began a full-on assault of the town and of the fortifications, and that didn't work. There wasn't a lot of casualties on either side, but they weren't. It was pretty clear they could hold, the Union could hold out in this town for a very long time, probably well long enough for reinforcements to come. General Price at this point had 15,000 men, so that's not easy to feed and take care of that many men without a city. You need a city to really do that. And so he began the third day was the important day. And it's how Lexington became known as the hemp capital of Missouri, right?
Yes.
Tell us a story, Glenn, about how those guys used hemp to win the Battle of Lexington.
Well, it happened about 2 to 3 blocks north of here and at the Anderson House and around the Anderson House. And, it was in September and just this time of year right now. And, the hemp had been baled. So the owner, of the Anderson House was Mr. Anderson, and he baled and hemp, and they used it for, fibers as well as making rope. And, all the hills and all the pastures around there had all these hemp bales. So the soldiers actually were hiding behind the hemp bales and were rolling them up the hill towards the Anderson House. And one of the biggest battles was right over at the Anderson House. And where we toured a while ago, we saw all of the shots there into the Anderson House. Anderson House was used as a hospital during the war. And back then, it was mainly just amputate a leg or an arm or what have you. So it wasn't much of a hospital like we think today, where you go into surgery.
But just recounting the story, so they couldn't take the city with a full-on assault. So they come up with something that had never been thought of before, I guess, in warfare to this time. Plus, the American Civil War was one of the first wars with large-scale use of rifles, so they were accurate. Mm-hmm. They could shoot farther. They rolled these. I always thought, you know, I've never seen a bale of hemp. But I know the greatest invention for my teenage years was when they went from square bales to round bales. Mm-hmm. One of the worst jobs ever is baling hay. I have allergies, so it was just misery when the Lord finally invented the big round bale. My life got better fast, and I could just imagine you'd have a couple of guys pushing this, and you could shoot it. You could shoot it in that bale all you want. You're not gonna hit anything.
No.
You'd hate to be the cows that had to eat that later, but mm-hmm. you know, they might finally let something extra in dinner. But so they roll these up, and they could toss bombs and shoot. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, the Union realizes, Colonel Mulligan with his Irish brigade realizes, we can't, they're too close.
And they're getting closer with these,
yes.
these rolling these bales up closer and closer, where before they couldn't get close to them.
I think it's a testament to Colonel Mulligan, though, that most courthouses like this would have been burnt.
Mm-hmm.
All over Missouri, right? Anywhere you go, Battle of Hartsville, they would burn the courthouse right away. Here, they didn't. And I think part of that's got to be the respect for life of Colonel Mulligan and maybe the town that was just known for its beauty. All the way back to the East Coast, this town was known for the beautiful architecture. Maybe that was part of it. I know that in World War II, there was an order for the German general to bomb Paris or raise Paris. And he just never did it. Or maybe it was to flood it, to blow the levee at the Seine or something. And he just loved the city too much and couldn't do it. You wonder if some of those same things were going through Colonel Mulligan's mind when he, you know, surrendered. There were minimal casualties on both sides. Really, there should have been a lot more for the South. But it's interesting, and the town was saved. A lot of these homes that are so beautiful to look at today wouldn't have been here if they would have actually made it more street-to-street combat.
Beautiful architecture here in this town.
And as an historian, I think it's really important that the courthouse wasn't burned because we have all of the court records Going so back rare. To Mount Vernon when court was held in a log cabin.
That is incredible.
So we have court records going all the way back before Lexington was even a town.
Now, there was a couple anecdotes here. This is the town that had the second bank robbery of Jesse James.
Yes. Yes, just two blocks up the street from the courthouse.
But the biggest robbery was the Union soldiers, right? They hit the. They took $100,000 out of Farmers Bank. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe.
And buried it, and I guess gave it back.
I think it was $1 million.
A million. I wonder if the government paid interest on it.
I think when the bank was just lucky to get the money back afterward.
In St. Genevieve, they come up. They still did the reenactment. The Union come up and stole the money. They didn't give it back to St. Genevieve, so. Lexington folks were a little bit lucky.
This was a huge trading post back in the day.
$1 million cash. That's incredible. There was a lot of bushwhacker activity here, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting when a person goes from being a bushwhacker to a soldier or vice versa, but it really destroyed the lives of a lot of people.
Yes.
I mean, partly they were foraging for food, but partly they were just robbing, right, mm-hmm. by the end. And then before we take our break, I want to tell the last story. Is after the battle, the Union had been defeated, but they were very professional about how they went about everything. The South treated them well. At this point, General Price thought, I believe if you're nice enough to people, we could just come up with some sort of negotiated settlement. I believe until Price's raid, I think General Price had always thought, well, why don't we just cut a better deal with the Union, whatever that deal is, and move on? Because Price had traveled the world and knew slavery was on its way out in the developed world. You weren't, that might, whether that's 10, 20 years, you weren't going to see 40 more years of it, just like in other developed nations that just didn't exist. And so Price, I think, the whole time thought he could cut a deal. So he was very cordial right up until his raid with the Union soldiers. But Governor Jackson had showed up, who had been deposed by Lincoln by this point. He shows up and gives a 30-minute speech about how bad the Union is to these Union soldiers. Can you imagine? You've been in a fight, in this ongoing fight for all this time, and you've got some politician giving you a half-hour lecture about, you know, governing or whatever. You can only imagine the thoughts of those Union. They probably are lucky that they took their guns before the speech. They mm-hmm. might not have been as willing.
Sure.
But I do want to tell one other story, and this is a story about, I guess, probably happens in the Civil War uniquely. At the Anderson House, I read this story where they needed water. They were out of water. And by this point, the South could shoot the house. And at the Anderson House, you were nice enough to show me all the bullet holes and scars in the brick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a hospital needs water. And it's not like they had indoor plumbing at the time. So they sent a couple men out holding a white flag to try to get water. Both of them had been shot. So they don't know it's getting desperate. They can't continue to have a hospital with no water. So they sent a woman out. She volunteered. Someone that was known in town walks out holding the flag, and the Southern soldiers look around and they're like, I'm not going to shoot a woman. They wouldn't shoot the woman. She filled four canteens of water, took it back into the house. And I think it was some of those things like that that might have helped save the town from being razed back in the day. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll come back. We're talking about Lexington today in Lafayette County. I want to thank our sponsors, the Missouri Farm Bureau, the Missouri Association of Counties, and the Missouri Association of Electric Co-op let us come to places like beautiful Lafayette County and be able to be here and study and talk about the history of our state. We'll be right back to talk about Lafayette County and Lexington today on Show Missouri, History of Missouri, one county at a time.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the Missouri way of life. We're for worrying less about the what-ifs and more about the why-nots. We're for checking off your bucket list and then making a new one. For starting a family, a business, a tradition. And if you find yourself starting over, we're here for that too. We're for building a life in Missouri and then going out and living it. And when it comes to making sure everything you've built is protected, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered for life.
Welcome back to Show Missouri. This is Missouri, one county at a time. We are here in very historic Lafayette County at the beautiful courthouse here in Lexington. The oldest working courthouse west of the Mississippi. We are here with Jennifer Kerr, a local historian and an attorney here in town. Thank you for sticking with us.
Thank you.
Representative Glenn Kolbmeier, appreciate the conversation, sir.
Absolutely.
And Linda Nindick. Lynn Nindick. I knew I was going to say that wrong the whole time. All right. The county clerk, thank you so much for the hospitality here in this beautiful courthouse.
You're welcome. Glad you're here.
Let's talk about how things kind of connect today. When I think of Lafayette County, I think of two different parts represented. I think of Lexington, obviously, then the history and the beautiful town. And then I think along 70 in the southern part of the county, you have a really growing business community down there.
We have the Missouri River to the north and very rich farm ground on the northern half of Lafayette County. And then the southern half, yes, is I-70. And it's kind of where the railroad went through. And then 40 Highway followed the railroad, and then I-70 then took over for 40. So, yes, so that's the corridor from Kansas City to St. Louis. And Lafayette County is the first county outside of Jackson, outside of Kansas City. So we're a bedroom community for a lot of workers in Kansas City, but then also our rich agriculture, and that's our number one industry here in Lafayette County.
And so where do folks work at? What are some of the major employers here?
It's the car factories. Ford, GM, used to be Armco Steel, Bendix, TWA. You know, there's a lot of, now there's Cerner. Today, Cerner are some of the places.
I would think as time goes by, Linda, you're going to see now that folks can work from home. I think you're seeing it all over the state and maybe the country. People are going to buy, if you're going to work from home more, you buy a house where you can enjoy it more, get a little more land. And folks, with the growth of the internet, you can work from home, and maybe you can choose to live in Lexington where maybe you left for work, but now where you could take work with you, you can come home to Lexington.
I think, you know, one of the things that COVID has shown us is there are a lot of benefits to not living in the congested metropolitan areas. You know, this is truly a jewel in the state of Missouri. Lafayette County is, and any of us who live here, I think, are very very consider ourselves fortunate and blessed to be a part of this. The county is well governed. The citizens are respectful. The schools are, you know, stellar. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of a better place to live.
I ask you, Jennifer, the tourism. I mean, you're doing a lot to preserve the history here. Mm-hmm. But I would think there's a place as beautiful as this, especially now that you're seeing more driving tourism. I noticed I saw one bed and breakfast. Is there more? Is there a...
Yeah.
I just think that's maybe an untapped thing.
Tourism. Yeah, I think tourism is one of our biggest untapped industries here in Lexington. We do have a bed and breakfast at Linwood Lawn, which is absolutely gorgeous. It's an antebellum mansion that's just out of this world. We have the Wentworth Hotel, which has rooms for rent. So there are a lot of places to come and stay. It's a great day trip. I would say a weekend trip because there's so much to see here. I love the museums. I'm a little bit biased, but we have a wonderful museum district now. We've got the State Historic Site where the Civil War battle mm-hmm. took place. We have the Wentworth Military Academy Museum, and we have the Lexington Museum. And all three are just fabulous. So you could easily spend a weekend here.
When you talk about folks, you think about how do folks get powers of co-op here, even KCP&L?
KCP&L in the cities, and then West Central Electric in the rules. But one of the other things that we have is we have a fair amount of agritourism. So in the fall, we have the apple orchards and peach orchards and the truck farms and pumpkin patches and the wineries. So we have a fair amount of agritourism as well.
That's awesome. Now, we talk about schools here. First, I want to talk about the Wentworth, the Military Academy. Tell folks the history of that, Jennifer. I know you've been very active in preserving that and keeping some of that history here in Lexington.
So Wentworth Military Academy closed in 2017 after 137 years in operation. At first, it was just a tragic loss for the community, but we took that and we made it into something really special. And the alumni got together with the town folk of Lexington and opened the Wentworth Museum. So that is a must-see when you come to town. It's truly special. We have the stained glass windows from the chapel. We have just so many special artifacts there. So it's a great place to visit.
Now, tell me about what's the high schools here in the county?
The high schools? Mm-hmm. Well, we have many good-sized communities, which is kind of unusual for a county of our size, and then the school districts go with them. We have Higginsville and Odessa. We have Wellington and Alma, Concordia. So those are all, we all have St. Paul Lutheran School in Concordia as well.
No, Lexington School.
And Lexington, yep. Yeah.
So
Lexington.
Tell me what the rivalry is. What's the big rivalry game?
Oh, there's lots of them. Lexington has rivalries, of course, with Higginsville. I think that one, they all kind of come and go over time. Mm-hmm. Wellington and Lexington, have big rivalries, even though there's a pretty big difference in the size of the schools. So.
That's interesting. Those are always fun. When you get to talking about the future and the next things that are associated with the community. Glenn, where do you see? To me, it looks from the outside looking, it looks like the Odessa area is really growing, and it's probably going to continue.
The corridor, the I-70 yeah. corridor, the ease of getting on and off and getting to the city is that's definitely our growth area. One of the things that I was really sad about Wentworth closing was it left Lafayette County with no higher ed. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we're going to see someone back in Wentworth that will offer some higher ed here in Lafayette County.
Let's talk about some of the famous folks from here. When I think of Lafayette County, I think of Ikeskill.
Absolutely.
What a legacy of service he left. Former state legislator, state senator, then congressman for a very long time. And it's probably not a coincidence that it wasn't long after he left office that Wentworth was on the chopping block. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was that influential and powerful.
Had his funeral service at Wentworth.
That's incredible. Sam Walton, I read, is a Lafayette County guy.
He worked here. He worked in at a Mattingly's or a Five and Dime in Odessa, but I don't know that he may have lived here while he was managing that or what have you in his younger days.
General Alexander Donovan. Huge figure throughout history, has some roots here.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. He was here before the Civil War and spent time here. And then I believe he led troops down south to fight. But yeah, I think he was an attorney in town, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. There's a big statue of him in Richmond, the neighboring city across the river. That's where he lived in his later life. There's a beautiful statue to him. Of him outside of the Ray County Courthouse.
He was a defender of the Mormons pretty frequently. Now, Mormon folks did travel through here, correct?
That's right.
Yes.
On the way through it. And then I saw the Santa Fe Trail is always such an interesting mm-hmm. thing. Tell folks about the statue that was left.
Oh, the Madonna of the Trail statue. Each state along the trail got a statue of the Madonna of the Trail. It's a pioneer woman. And Lexington was chosen to be the home for the one in Missouri. And it was actually dedicated by Harry S. Truman. And it was before he was a president or anyone big and powerful. It was in the 1920s. So I have beautiful photographs of him in Lexington dedicating that as a very young man.
Now, I read Senator Hawley is from here. Is that
yes. Uh-huh. We're right across the street from where his dad was the bank president.
Is that right?
Yes. Uh-huh. This is home for Josh.
I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone in politics or met anyone in politics that is just as intelligent as he is. That is one of the most intelligent people I've ever seen actually in politics and choosing for a location. He's a next level of intelligence. And there's a lot of smart people in politics. I'm not sure I've ever met anybody just as smart. Take whatever you think of his political decisions, yeah. Just as far as being in just another level of intelligence. Mm-hmm. That's one of the smartest people I've ever been around.
And a good guy, all around good guy.
Hey, Lexington breeds smart people. What can we say?
I don't think we're going to top that, except before I ask my last question, I want to once again thank our sponsors, the Missouri Farm Bureau, Missouri Association of Counties, and the Co-op Association for letting us come to places like Lafayette County and be here in a beautiful spot like Lexington and talk about all the history. Representative, you had a friend come up where would you take him in Lafayette County? Let's say you brought Sean Rhodes up here from West Plains. Where would you take him here in Lafayette County?
Well, I have brought Sean Rhodes up here and his wife, and I took him along with some other members of my class, and we went to Linwood Lawn and went to the bed and breakfast. It's just a jewel.
Ma'am, if you brought Tanya Deffendahl up from my hometown and brought her here to Lafayette County, where would you take her? What would you ever know about the folks that live here?
Well, I think I could best explain from a bird's eye view, and I probably would take her to the very top of Lafayette Hall. You can stand out on the roof on a flat area, and from there you can see everything that is important to Lafayette County. You know, I think that you can see the values, the pride. You can see the farms, you can see the orchards, but you can see the cities, you can see the river. And I think you could explain literally everything we talked about here today from underneath the dome on Lafayette Hall.
Where would you take someone if you brought them up here to Lafayette County? What would you have them know about the folks that live here?
It's hard to top Glenn and Linda's what they would do. I would take them to, of course, the museums. I would take them to the courthouse. I would take them for a fun lunch at the Heist so they could dine where Jesse James robbed the bank. I would take them to see the beautiful views of the Missouri River, and I would have to drive them out of town to visit the orchards and see the beautiful countryside.
Well, Jennifer, Linda, Glenn, thank you so much for the hospitality. One of the most interesting counties, not just in Missouri, but in all of America, one of the most beautiful places. If you have not been to Lexington, put it on your list. Make a point to come here. You will not be disappointed. We will be back next week on Show Missouri, History of Missouri, One County at a Time.